is because he can preach for also able to save them to the othermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the angels, that's our Lord tonight, that's Jesus Christ, saved to the uttermost, I bless his name for that. It's what an honor it is tonight to introduce my brother-in-law to preach to us. A pastor asked me if I'd introduce him, and not only is he my brother-in-law, but he's a good preacher. And I appreciate him, and I don't tell him that. I don't think I tell him I love him, but I do love him. And it's an honor to introduce Brother Jason Tolbert tonight. He's going to come and preach to us. Brother Jason.
Gonna not lie from the pulpit like that. Saying he loves me might be one thing, but good preacher, that's a complete lie. I don't know, it just feels tonight like we ought to just, I don't know, take the next hour and thank him for being saved, don't you? Are you thankful you're saved this evening? If everyone would, turn to Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew chapter number 15. When you found your places, we're going to look in verse number 21. Verse number 21, it says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Lord, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank you, Father, for allowing us into your house. Lord, I want to thank you for salvation. I want to thank you for that precious blood of Christ, dear Lord, that washes me white as snow. I want to thank you, dear Lord, that you sent your Son and that he rose again that third day and he placed that blood on the mercy seat for my sins and for the sins of all people. And Lord, I just want to ask, Father, tonight that you'd help us. Lord, help me. And Lord, I just ask, Father, that you'd make this message what you want it to be. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The first parts of this text here, when I look at it, I see the lady is the first part that I see. And there's three things that I see that the lady does when Jesus comes under the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. The first thing that lady does is that she cries unto him. She cries unto him. And that word cry, it means to clamor, it means to cry out, it means to shout. She called out to Jesus, and she said, Jesus, Lord, my daughter is vexed with the devil, and she needed some help. She asked for mercy. She cried unto the Lord. Aren't you thankful tonight that you have the ability to cry out to God? Aren't you thankful that you have the ability to come boldly into the throne of grace, and there you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need? Aren't you thankful that you can come and all that are heavy laden unto Jesus, and there you'll find rest? Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Well, this lady was in deep despair, and she cried. out to Jesus. And it goes a little bit further, and it says that this woman, it says in the next verse there, in verse number 23, but he answered her not a word. Have you ever been in a place where you've cried out to Jesus and you got no answer whatsoever? You prayed to him, you asked him for help, you've asked him for provision, you asked him for an answer, you've asked him for something, just for his presence to be there, but you got not a word. This lady being even more grieved by the fact that he said nothing. It says that the disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. See, the disciples, they said, Will you, Lord, just take care of the problem? Let her go. Just get rid of her, is basically what it's saying. Give her what she needs so that she can go, because she's going crazy, is the word. The word in the Greek is krazo. It means to croak. It means to scream. This lady was so deep in despair about her own daughter and the devil that was grievously vexing her, that she not only cried out unto him, but she was going crazy. I don't know if you've ever been in this place. Maybe you haven't. But I have been in some places where I've needed Jesus so bad that tears were flowing and I was just screaming out to God, just help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And I could see her as she was probably being held back by the people and she was going crazy. She was saying, Lord, Lord, help me, please. Lord, help my situation. And Jesus, he didn't answer the lady. He still didn't answer the lady. He answered the disciples and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And this is the third thing that she came. She cried out unto him. She went crazy after him. And then she came and worshiped him. She came unto him, it says in verse number 25. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. I know probably most people in this room have been in this place where they've cried out to Jesus. They may not have been to the place where they went crazy after Jesus, although that probably should be a thing that we should always do. But I know that everybody's been in this place where you had no other strength in your own body and you had nothing else that you could do other than to just say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. This lady, she needed help from God. She needed help so bad. She couldn't fix the problems in her own daughter. She couldn't fix the problems in her life. But she knew one that could. This lady, when she came unto him, she bowed and she said, Lord, help me. And then he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. You know, when she bowed down, that word to worship, it means to get down like a dog and lick the hand. It means to get in a place where it was a shameful place. It's a crouching place. It's a place to become prostrate, to lay flat. This lady got down like a dog and begged her master for help. And he said, it's not meat. It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. That word bread, it got to that woman. And the woman, in her answer, she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She was satisfied with a crumb. You know, I know this is a strange way of doing it, but when we get to the part where it talks about a crumb, I need to start talking about him. And to talk about him, I need to go back to the beginning. And in the beginning of this story, it says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coasts of Tyre and Sidon." You see, the Lord knew where he was going. He went to Tyre and Sidon. This was a place in Phoenicia. This was a place up north. This was not the normal traveling point of Jesus. In fact, he only went there one time that I can find in my King James Bible. He only went that direction one time, and I believe that he knew what he was doing and he knew where he was going. I believe that he knew that he was going to that place just for her. I believe that he knew that he had a lady who had a daughter who was vexed with a devil. And he knew that that lady was going to be there on the shores of Tyre and Sidon. And he knew that that was the place where he needed to be. You see, this was an odd thing for Jesus. And this was also an odd thing for any Jew. Because if you look back to the teachings of Josephus, it even said that the people of Tyre and Sidon thought ill of the Jews. They didn't like them. They didn't appreciate them. They scorned them. They hated them. But Jesus went there anyway. He knew where he was going. Secondly, I see that he knew what he was doing. You know, through this whole entire situation, you can look at the fact that he did know where he was going. Secondly, he knew what he was doing when he answered not a word. Have you been to the place where you've just been lackadaisical in your prayer life, in your reading life, in the life of your Christian walk? When you just say, "Lord, help me with this," and "Lord, help me with that," but you're going through the motions and you're not really doing what you need to do. Jesus had to get this lady to a specific place in her life. And it didn't take, you know, she wasn't the typical Baptist, because it didn't take very long. You see, the story's not very long. I believe that it took me a long time to get me to the place where I needed to be to call on Jesus. But it took her a very short time, you see, because not only did she called on him just the first time, but she continuously cried after him, crying, screaming, croaking is the word. She cried after him, and he knew that she needed to be at the place where she was just going after the Father and what his will was. And finally, he brought her to the place that it was down on her knees right in front of the Master. It brought her down low. It brought her to the place where right where he wanted her. He knew exactly what he was doing. Thirdly, I want to say that he knew what she wanted. Let me just say that if you read the text, it's simple to know what she wants. But if you look into the text, it's a little bit more difficult. Let me explain. The first words that she says is, "Have mercy on me." She says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Now you look, you just read that just the way it is. It says, "Have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." She wants her daughter's healing. And I'm gonna look at this in two different ways, because and the first way is just a little bit funny, but the second thing that she said was, "Lord, help me." She didn't say, "Lord, heal my daughter. Lord, remove the devils from my daughter." She started talking about herself. At first, this is going to sound strange, but have you ever met that person that no matter what the situation is, that it's all about me? Have you ever, like, say you're a good friend. Your good friend, or my good friend comes to me and says, "Jason, I've got the most deadly kind of cancer that they've ever had in my that they've ever known of, that they don't know any kind of good prognosis. They don't know how to treat it. They don't know what to do with it. I don't know what to do. And that person just says, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? The other person. You know, I've met those people that it's all about them. It was all about her and not the daughter. I don't believe that that's the case in this instance. But what I want to say is, it's not all about me. It's all about him. On the flip side of that coin, have you ever been in the instance where she says, have mercy on me. And then she says, Lord, help me. Have you been in the instance where you wanted something so bad? You wanted revival to come so bad. You wanted somebody to be saved so badly that you'd do anything to make that happen. And sometimes, as much as we want what God wants, our own will gets in the way of that. And what that lady, I believe, was asking in those instances here, she was saying, I know what I want, but Lord, help me to know what you want. Lord, help me to say the right kind of things. Help me to do the right thing for my daughter. Help me be merciful on me, because I know that I don't know what I'm doing here. Habakkuk is one of my favorite prophets. And I guess it's because he's very much like me. When in the first chapter of Habakkuk starts to pray, and he prays for Israel, and he prays for Israel's revival. But when God gives him the answer that revival is not necessarily going to come, it's going to be in the form of the Babylonians, and it's going to be in the form of conquer, and it's going to be in the form of hurt for Israel. Habakkuk says, "Whoa, I didn't ask for that." And then after chapter number 1 and chapter number 2, at the very first part, it says that Habakkuk goes up into his watch and he says, I'm going to wait until the Lord reproves me. He knew that the Lord knew what was best. He knew that the Lord knew what needed to happen. He knew that despite what he wanted for Israel, despite what he wanted, that the Lord had to take control, that the Lord had to be in control. He knew, listen, Jesus in this situation, he knows what she wants, but he also knows what she needs. Aren't you thankful that we have a God that knows what we want, even knows what we need even before we even ask for it? Even before we even know about it, he knows about each and every need that we have. He knew what she wanted, but he knew what she needed. And what she needed is in verse number 27. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. In this situation, this lady was grieved about her daughter. She was grieved about her situation. She didn't know which way to turn. She didn't know what to do. But she came unto Jesus, the Son of David. She knew who he was. She came unto him, and she knew that she wasn't going to get a full piece of bread like the Israelite children were, like the children were going to get. But she believed that God, and specifically Jesus in this instance, was big enough that just a crumb was good enough. She believed enough of Jesus that a speck, a crumb, was good enough to take care of the situation that she was in. Jesus got her to the place in this short amount of time where he showed her that his grace was sufficient. And that grace was in the form of something small. Her situation in her life was huge. It was probably one of the worst situations that she had been in. But to Jesus, it was this big. You know what? I'm thankful. I'm thankful that
We sang about salvation. Most of the singing service was about salvation. I'm thankful. Well, one, he spilled his whole blood, but a little was enough to get me saved. Just a crumb of it. You know, when there's no food on the table, I'm glad that a crumb from Jesus is enough to make it work. You know, he did feed 5,000 with just 5 loaves and a few fishes. A crumb is just enough. When there's $7 in your bank account, and you ain't got nothing else to go on for another 2 weeks, a crumb is good enough from Jesus. When the diagnosis is terminal or is so detrimental that it just takes you off your feet, I'm glad a crumb from Jesus is enough. When you're hurting and in need of peace, I'm glad a crumb from Jesus is enough. When you need peace, when you've lost your family or lost loved ones in death, I'm glad that just a little crumb from Jesus is enough. You know, there's a story about, I believe it's Fred Suffield. He was a Canadian, and he was living in this little town in a little home that was kind of up in Canada, and he got a knock at the door one night, and at that knock there was a man standing there, and the man came and said that the train that they were in, it had broken down, it had stopped, and it was freezing outside, and he asked the man for help. And the man, Fred Suffield, he said, "Sure, you know, I don't have a big home, but I believe it can help." He went and he helped those people, and that night he kept those people warm, and through that situation there was a young lady who wrote him a letter and said, "Thank you so much for helping us. We would have died if you hadn't helped us. We would have frozen to death, had frostbite." Well, those two kept going, speaking back and forth, and through all of that, they became married. They moved to Ontario, Canada, and they went to a church of, I can't remember his first name. I believe the first initial was A, last name Shea. And they got gloriously saved. And they started to minister. They started evangelizing. They went to different places in Canada, and they were trying to spread the gospel. Well, through that, I don't know if you heard the last name of the man that I just mentioned, Shea, but there was a young man named George Beverly Shea. I think pretty much everyone would notice that one. And he went to the Suffield's house, Fred and Kitty Suffield's house, and he was helping them one summer to evangelize, and through that, she played some songs for him and had him to sing. And that first time that he got up to sing, he was singing some high notes and he kept cracking. His voice kept messing up at what didn't sound right. And he, being so upset and humiliated, said, "I'm not ever going to sing again." But Kitty wouldn't have that. She said, "No, let's try this in a little different way. Let's try it a little bit lower." You know, George Beverly Shea had that deep voice who would sing. Well, Fred and Kitty, they ministered to the heart of George Beverly Shea. In October of 2000, when I believe George Beverly Shea was 92 years old, they were having a revival in Tennessee somewhere. I don't know if it was Nashville or Knoxville. Don't quote me on any of that. But George Beverly Shea got up after singing for years for the glory of God. And he started singing, "In the harvest field now ripened, there's a bud on earth to bloom." And then he started singing, little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. You see, the person who wrote that was Kitty Suffield, that woman who made him stand up and sing, made him keep going for the Lord. You know, I don't know what your situation is tonight, but I know we have a lot of situations in here. I know we've got people who are diagnosed with some difficult things. I know there are people who are hurting. There are people without peace. There are people with financial struggles. There may even be someone here that's not saved. But let me just tell you that a crumb is enough from Jesus. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Come get your crumb.
Yeah, and the organ, what an invitation. He didn't give an invitation. No, he did. The Holy Spirit did. Well, you're standing there. Jesus is available and all you need, just come. He can give you anything and everything you need. As he said, just take her a little while to get to worship. But when you get to the place of worship, you've got his attention, full attention. And that's about the only way you're going to get his attention, worship and adore. Altar's open. Is there a plan? Whatever your need is, might need salvation, God can grant it. You might need help for yourself or a friend. This particular woman, as Brother Jason so wonderfully said, was about her child. But she had to get to the place that she needed to be before she could get help for her child. That might be your situation. But when you get to Jesus and you see his glory, it promotes worship. Then we have his attention.
I want the Holy Spirit to, when he opens this package, I want the Holy Spirit to pray. I'm going to put your sermon this morning in here. I've got to open it up and put that in. I'm so burdened, I don't know what to do, but to get, try to get to him. You know who it is. And I just wanted us to pray over this and ask the Lord to touch it.
Lord Jesus, you see the many needs right now at the altar. Father, you can listen and take care of everyone. And Lord, for this person that Brother Charlie's talking about, you know where he's at. You know his life. You know that he needs you. And oh God, I pray right now that as this letter goes to his address and he opens it, the power of God will accompany it. Oh Jesus, whatever the need is, that you will meet that need. Lord, just the crown be enough. Lord, just your word.
Yes.
Lord, you just said that you lacked the faith that she exhibited. And wherever the child was, it was healed.
Yes.
And Father, we don't have to be next door. We don't have to be in immediate contact.
Oh.
Wherever that person is, anywhere in the world, could be in China, somewhere else. Your word's
yes.
enough.
Thank you.
We trust you. We love you.
Yes.
And we praise you and we adore you. Thank you for this wonderful message that you have sent through your servant,
yes.
Mr. Jason.
Yes.
Thank for you, Lord. The ability to hear and receive it,
yes.
And acknowledge that you're Lord brings us to worship.
Amen.
Thank Lord, you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
Lord. Amen. Amen.
kind of special request tonight. My brother's youngest son, 39-year-old, he went to meet the Lord this evening at about 2:30. 2 years he's been beat up with cancer and got two little ones, 1 9, I think 1 11. Best of my knowledge, he was more than ready to go, but boy, it sure does hurt. You know, it's amazing how one day we can be here and in 10 minutes we're standing before a holy God, whether you're right, wrong, indifferent. Doesn't really matter as long as you're ready to go, but boy, it still hurts and it's a broken heart. He was so close, he's almost like my own. And, you know, I was talking to my brother and a guy come and did some tree work for him about 3 months ago. His 19-year-old son said he's much of a man, about 6'1", 6'2", said he probably weighed about 240, 50 pounds, helped him with the trees. Said he ran into him last week. He got the same cancer that Dale had that took him. I tell you what, days are short and life is short. Having your heart right and being ready to go is what it's all about. Tomorrow may be too late. Today's accepted time. You know, I guess the older you get, the more you realize you got less time to go and it gets closer to your heart, you know. But I tell you, leaving here unsaved, I don't know how you could know anything about the Bible or anything about God and not realize what you've missed if you missed heaven. I'd love you to pray for the family because the kids, they don't even know it yet. They were just picking him up. Matter of fact, talked to my brother on the way to church. They hadn't even picked him up at the house yet. But if you'd remember that family, I would sure appreciate it. But it could be one of us just as easy as it's him. Thank you, and I love y'all.
Let's pray right now. Precious Lord Jesus, we come before your throne. As a lady that we read about and heard about tonight did. And Lord, we need help. The family needs help. We can only imagine what they're going through, the suffering he's already had, and now the children. And Lord, I pray that you will finger around those children's heart, and when they hear and know, it should be to them a Savior and a God. Lord, they've heard about you. Now they need the peace of God. And I pray for this family, for all those people hurting everywhere. And thank you, Father, for the burden you give your children. God, without the burden, we can't pray. We can say words, but God, it takes the burden. I want to thank you for the burden. Help us, Father, when we have the burden to make much of it, seek your face so we can worship and adore, be with him in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, brother. Love you, brother. Amen. Everyone done what God expected you and told you to do that? Ms. Breda.
The scripture that he read tonight, the faith of this mother, I have that scripture marked in my Bible, circled, and I have Misty's name written beside it. And I just was remembering back to the day, the morning, Sunday morning that Carly was born. And nothing at all had give us any indication that there was anything wrong with Carly. But when she was born, they immediately started working. Just God had it all planned, had a NICU nurse in the delivery room to grab Carly, take care of her, and do all that had to be done. But we stood over her bassinet that day and looking at her and talking with the doctors and everything. But Missy had already said, Mama, God said he would heal her if I would believe. And the doctor came in and talked, and Misty said, will she ever walk and talk? However, the question was, he said, oh, no, she'll never move from the waist down. She'll never be able to stand on her feet. Most of you might not even know what the word rock or bottom feet is, but that's what Carly had. And they were, if those of you that saw her feet know how disfigured they were and everything. And that as we stood over her that bed that day, the day she was born, and then they were taking her to close her spine because she's, for those of you that might not know, born with spina bifida. And when the doctor came out of the operating room to come to report, he was running, just about bouncing as he come to us. And he said, I saw her feet move. And he just told us that they'd never move. You all see Carly today, you know what God's done in her life. If you had seen her feet, seen her little back, and a lot of you saw how crooked her back was. Just this past summer, we took her down for surgery, and she was 3 inches taller when she came out of surgery. The next morning, she was up walking down the hall by her, you know, on her own 2 feet. It's the faith of a mother, just like was in this scripture today. If you can have faith to believe, God will answer your prayer. And I believe with all my heart that Carly is what she is today because the faith of a mother. I believe that with all my heart. I know she's crazy as a loon sometimes when she gets turned loose, Missy is. But she has so much faith that I just admire her for where she stands and how God uses her and all that he does. I just felt like I had to tell that tonight. I'll never forget the things that she's come through and the times we've seen her and how she's come through surgery so bold and so brave. And it's God, and it's her mother's faith in God.
Glory. Amen. Amen. Yes.
There's an unseen hand. I've been singing this song all day. We'll sing it. I knew that the Lord gave me this song for some reason. There is an unseen hand to me that leads through ways I cannot see. While going through this world of woe, this hand still leads me as I go. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still guided by the unseen hand. His hand has led through shadows drear, and while it leads, I have no fear. I know 'twill lead me to that home where sin or sorrow can ever come. I long to see my Savior's face and sing the story saved by grace. And there upon that golden strand, I'll praise him for his guiding hand. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still guided by the unseen hand. Praise God.